get started. It is 6:02. And Patty, certificate of compliance?
Yes, the meeting was posted for the 2 weeks in advance on March 27th and again on April 1st.
Okay. I still have my thing over here. What's on there?
Oh, the future program.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'll just jump right in.
Yep.
And first of all, I'd like to introduce Laurel Priestian. Laurel is our Agricultural Entrepreneurship Program Coordinator. And before Laurel begins, and she doesn't know anybody in the room, it would be helpful if everybody introduced themselves so that Laurel knew who people are.
Okay. So. Laurel, I'm Kim Brunig. I'm the chair of the committee.
You, I know.
Thanks.
I'm Chris Mason. I'm the Director of Public Works and Development Services.
Hi, I'm Erin Decker, County Board Supervisor from District 22.
I'm Evelyn Gerstein, Kurt Even Governance.
What's the County Board Supervisor, District 19?
Mike Dodge, County Board Supervisor, District Number 5 in the City of Kenosha.
Okay. Mike Underhill.
I'm Ashley Kenny, I'm a current Even Governance
member. Okay,
very
good.
So, good. Laurel's a part of the agricultural educator position, so Rose was a 60% position that left 40%, and part of that 40% is being filled by Laurel, and her role is the Agricultural Entrepreneurship Program Coordinator, and that's a mouthful.
It's a long title.
And I can't even spell entrepreneurship. When I do it, freaks out. The other person who is doing part of that agricultural work is Carol Reed, and Carol is a limited term employee, but they both serve Kenosha and Racine counties. So Laurel, I've asked to update us on the work that she's doing so the committee has a better perspective of that work.
And we're going to make it brief because I know you have an expanded agenda this evening. So if I could ask you to start these around my... This is a copy of the Farm Fresh Atlas from 2013. The 2014 edition of the Atlas is currently at the printer. So we don't have that to share with you, but I do have the mock-up of the 2014, so you can all get a sneak preview of what the new edition is going to look like. You can feel free to leaf through that if you like. And then I will launch into a discussion about what's new in the last few months. Does it not read it from over here?
Is it on?
Yeah.
I can read it.
It should work.
We'll just do this.
Okay,
so the first thing that that I would highlight is a program I was not personally involved with. This was a program that was conducted by Peg Reedy, Rose Scora, and Kristen Krakowski. It was a farmer's market workshop that was held early February at the Walworth County Government Center. It was 29 registered participants. I do not have a count on how many participants came to the event. There were several breakout sessions, and then they did some common sessions about incubator kitchens, tax and legal issues, and then educating the consumer about your farm and farm products. All of those programs, of course, designed to encourage farmers markets. So, this is my area, the Farm Fresh Atlas. So in 2013, December of 2013 is when I joined this work and came into a kind of mid-production that year. So the edition that's in front of you had been started prior to when I joined on full-time in my work anyway. The website is listed there. It's also, of course, in the atlas that you have with you. And in 2013, the new additions on the website were to add tabs for applications, and with that, an online payment option through a program called Point and Pay. In addition to that, we added a tab for donations, which regrettably are not tax deductible at this time because we do not yet have nonprofit status. That's something that's in the works, and a tab for restaurants. That was an area that the board thought that they would like to go into to add information to the Atlas about local and sustainable restaurants. In the contact us section, we added a CAPTCHA security codes. I'm not sure, you've probably seen them if you visited websites where you have to enter a security code in order to submit a form. We were getting a fair amount of spam mail and unwanted email through the website prior. This has pretty much eliminated that, so that was a good addition. And then we divided the home page of the Atlas so that information was easier for users to access. And provided all of the applicants, all of the listers on the site with the opportunity to update their information at any time during the year. So they can send me an email, and if they have a change of names, address, phone number, hours of operation, whatever, we can update that on an ongoing basis and keep the website live and current.
Have you gotten any donations through the website?
We have.
Oh.
But minimal. But I wouldn't get too excited.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's coming. So for 2014, the things that are new on the cover of the Atlas that's coming around to you, it is our 10th anniversary edition, so that's a milestone for the Atlas. And we've added a QR code to the cover this year so that it can be scanned from smartphones and take you directly to the website. So looking at adding that QR code in more places to make it a little more technology friendly. For online options, again, we had an online application process and payment option, both of which were utilized fairly well for first year out. And from people that used it, we heard very good reviews. They loved it. It was a 5-minute process, so I'm hoping that it'll gain momentum. Then for financial oversight, we did go to Point and Pay, which is a county program. Prior to that, the administration of the finances for the Atlas had been done by an outside third party, and it could be several months before we had a clear picture of where the finances for the Atlas were really at. This has improved that a great deal. We can look at it at any point and see exactly where our finances are. I went back and did a 3-year retention attrition evaluation so that I could tell how many Atlas listings we were losing, how many we were retaining, and then we had the opportunity to go back and contact people that had left the Atlas for whatever reason over a 3-year period and encourage them to come back to the Atlas this year, and we had several takers there. So we were able to improve the number of applicants. We also implemented programs to provide better equality regarding the length of prescriptions that were in the Atlas. We had, over the years, we had gained momentum on some listings to the point where it wasn't very equitable to others. So we reviewed that this year. And then we also created a better equality regarding advertising rates. Some of the rates, for whatever reason, and I'm not aware exactly what the reasons are, but over the years, some of the ad rates have been modified, and we put everybody back on an even playing field this year. So for 2015, the plan is that the additions will be a more vigorous restaurant section, similar to what we have for farms, business sponsors, and farmers markets. There would be a dedicated section for restaurants. But the board did find this last year when they wanted to implement restaurants as a section that they need to become a little more familiar with what the marketing cycle for restaurateurs is. By the time they were at a point where they were ready to approach restaurants about advertising in the Atlas, most restaurants had already spent their advertising dollars for 2014. So they needed to learn it has to begin a little bit earlier in the fiscal cycle for restaurants. Other addition would be aquaculture. That would be a completely new category for the Atlas, aquaculture being fish farming. And according to the Wisconsin aquaculture website, there are 33 aquaculture ventures in the state. And chances are, if they're doing aquaculture in Wisconsin, they serve the Milwaukee metro market, which is what our atlas targets. So, and then we're hoping to recategorize some of our applicants. We have several, if you look through the atlas, you'll see that there are several that are farm business combinations. And there's an opportunity for them to divide their two entities and take a listing as a farm in one section of the atlas and take a listing as a business sponsor in another section. So that hopefully they increase their exposure and we can increase our revenue. Application and advertising rate increases are also being considered. The board is looking at that also. Then as far as the atlas, overall, prior to summer of June 2013, it had been conducted by a steering committee that has since changed and we've gone to a formal board of directors. It's currently at 7 members. They sign for a 3-year term. So we always have people that are rotating in and rotating out. We stagger the terms so that we have some continuity of knowledge on the background of the atlas. The subcommittees are communication, and the communication subcommittee deals with the website, press releases, posters, brochures for our fundraiser, all of those elements. The distribution network for the atlas is actually a volunteer network that distributes 80,000 copies of the atlas annually over a 10-county region. We do partner with a few larger entities in order to get the atlas out in an organized fashion, and those would be the 10 counties, UW Extension offices. We also work with Slow Food out of the Milwaukee area, and the Waukesha Green Team alone distributes about 10,000 copies a year, so they've been a great partner for us. And I guess the other point is that it's kind of a three-phase distribution. We try to make an initial push once the atlas is produced, then again mid-summer, and then again in the fall before farmers markets wrap up for the season and they go into their winter markets. Other subcommittees are farmers markets and fundraising, of course. The emphasis for the fundraising subcommittee is currently gaining corporate sponsorship, looking at various grants that might be available, and the possibility of working with a printer for donation of the print costs of the atlas. That is our major expense. And then, of course, production, which is kind of my area. And that is the summary of what we are doing with the atlas. So I see the book kind of made its way around. Any questions?
Well, when do you expect it to be available?
Well, that was my work today. Lots of emails flying back and forth. It looks like if I can get back board member approval on all the elements of the atlas, it will go on press next Thursday. So it runs press with several press checks that we have to be live for Thursday and Friday, and then it has some resting time, then it goes to the bindery the following week, and it looks like it should be out before the end of the month.
Wow.
I know.
Wow. That's a sure sign of spring.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
I love the atlas that when it comes out every year. I try to hit a lot of the farmers markets in there. So.
Just the colorful covers.
Yeah.
I think that itself, the artwork is always incredibly good.
Okay. Any other questions that you have, or
anyone? No. Okay. Just make sure we get the copies.
It will come. You'll get the new one.
Good. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Then we're going to move to educator programs and updates.
So, signs of spring, the helpline, the master gardeners are starting to answer more gardening questions, and I'm very excited because we have 3 new master gardener volunteers who want to become involved in answering gardening questions. So that will make it a few more and make it easier for the ones that are already experienced in it. So we're still doing Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings. But we have a voicemail so people can email or leave a voicemail anytime they would like, and then we get back to them. And then I back them up, you know, any questions or anything they can't handle or concerns, take care of that. Jeannie is working with another group of Master Gardener volunteers, and they are starting with the design for the All-American Selections Garden and trying to get all of those kinds of things together. And so it's moving right along, signs of spring here. That's really good. And then the other thing I wanted to share with you is Saturday I will be doing a Master Composter workshop. And so these are people who are interested in learning more about backyard composting, and then as part of their volunteer work, they will give at least one workshop and then work on a demonstration site in order to teach people more about home composting. And I know one of the demonstration sites we would like to be here. So look, as part of our expansion in our demonstration gardens, that there will be some composting education too. So that's exciting. We have, I believe, 13 people signed up for that. So
are you going to make compost tea or anything for us?
No, we will not make compost tea. Well, I guess you can make it and you could try drinking it, but the research says that compost teas really aren't that great. So you're better off just using regular or cold compost instead of going through all that work of doing a compost tea.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions for Barb? Okay. Amy, you're up.
All right, well, I made a couple copies of just some things that might be interesting. There's only four, so I thought maybe write Underhill and we could just start with them every other person. Couple projects that I think are really exciting going on the front side. You'll see it's a case study of a downtown revitalization project. We're actually going to combine as part of the Main Street program a research project of different case studies where buildings have been rehabbed and show the economic impact. So this is just one up there in Algoma that just to give you a taste, there's going to be 30 of these, and we're just going to kind of illustrate some of the sources of financing, the cost of the rehab, and just some areas of what the project entailed. And then combine this with some summaries of lessons learned. And this is actually just a first stage of kind of a two-stage project where now the Kenosha Main Street program has a forgivable loan program. It's actually a grant. And any participants in that program will be required to record all of the financials, and then we can start building a database of sorts of current projects and really illustrating economic impact over time. So it's a really exciting project that's just kicking off, and there's a lot of different people involved, and I'm one of them. So on the back side, I just gave you a little screenshot of our portfolio manager because it is up and going. We have four buildings in. Chris is part of our energy team. And we have an intern from Carthage College who's uploading all the data. And this is actually one that may be eligible for Energy Star certification. If you see here, the current score of this building is 75 out of 100. The county courthouse is actually ranked higher than the national average at 73, so we may be able to apply for a certification for that facility. So we're noticing some really positive things out of some of our buildings that maybe you wouldn't have expected. And our intern is doing a lot of touring and meeting with a lot of the building managers, building chiefs, and just learning a lot about the facility. So a lot of good things are happening with that energy team, and this is funded through a grant, if you recall, from the State Energy Office through June. So we'll have all the buildings entered. Right now we have four. We've got nine that are as part of this assessment. So it's going really, really well.
Good.
Those are some of the highlights. We do have a hazardous waste event coming up May 3rd. So get ready with your hazardous waste and come on down. We'll actually be launching an online version of our Reduce, Reuse, Recycle Guide. So I'm going to have some volunteers from Wilmot High School directing traffic and handing out little either a QR code or some little reminder as you're sitting in the car, why don't you check out our recycle guide and learn more about local recycling vendors that'll take your hazardous waste. So it's really, really exciting for those that are into trash. So, yeah.
What time is it?
It's actually 8 to 12.
Okay.
You can get there a little early because I think we'll start probably closer to 7:30. It sounds like we have a habit of doing that because the cars will start lining up.
Yeah.
So,
and we're also taking
e-waste and refrigerant. So this is the first year that we've actually co-located all three different collection sites here. So we've got a waste handler out of Janesville that's coming in to do the e-waste and the refrigerant for the first time at no charge to the county or the residents. So it's a great opportunity to get some more of that out of the storage bins and garages around the county. So it was great. Any questions below what I've been doing? Yeah.
I think we asked last time we talked about that was where do we dispose of the old propane canisters that have outdated knobs?
Yeah, this is a difficult one. The closest local vendors that I know of are in Waukesha County for propane tanks. You cannot bring them to the hazardous waste because they're pressurized and there's injuries often by handling those. There's also take back programs that there is, if you have any information on the tank, there are some times you can take it back in and they may be able to exchange it. But I can actually follow up with you because Waukesha has a number of different locations. So want to drive. It's a good question. I get a lot of calls on that, so that'll be in the recycle guide as well because a lot of people are involved in this.
Okay, good. Any other questions? No? Okay. Ladies?
I've told them they could go.
You are.
You are. Okay.
Please make sure that you get some excuse on the way out because we have plenty. Okay. Youth and governance.
Let me start with two things. One is I want to share a piece of correspondence that I received from a parent of a West Osha Central High School student who just wanted me to pass along his appreciation to you as a committee for being proactive about allowing youth who were traveling during spring break to have an opportunity to interview. So he said, please convey my thanks to the committee as a parent for their recognition of the interview conflicts and their willingness to offer a solution. The committee's actions speak well for them. I just wanted you to know that. I was very pleased with that. The second is to tell you again, as I did in an email, to apologize to all of you that it is my error in being remiss in not identifying the junior class participants in youth and governance. I simply would just say that would have been I miss John every day, but that was really one of those where I really miss John because John would have done that. John would have been right on that, and it totally slipped off my plate. There were four juniors in the Youth and Governance program this year. Two of them were nominated by teachers, and so they were to receive the nomination letter. You know, thank you, congratulations, you've been nominated, please apply. The two other YIG members, I was contacted by one of them saying, how do I reapply? And that's when the bingo went off in my head. Oh, no. So I totally dropped the ball on that one, and I take full responsibility for that.
Who's the one that contacted you?
John.
Oh, okay.
Satter contacted me. So I quickly contacted Chairman Brewing and asked what we should do. They were able to apply. You saw some of those emails back and forth. And so this afternoon, we were able to conduct phone interviews with the two of them briefly. And I'll let, oh, she's coughing. I was going to say, I'm like, to just see what happens. So, again, my apologies. And in all fairness to the youth, I cannot say how I regret that I just dropped the ball.
Okay, so we had two phone interviews this afternoon. Rick, Aaron,
excuse me, and Emily and myself were on these. You guys want to talk about the two candidates real quick? And bring them up to speed? Because no one else has seen them or where they fell in the rankings yet.
We interviewed John Setter, who is Public Works.
Yep.
And Maddie Artak.
Chief Finance or
Finance?
Finance.
Okay. I thought Madeline did, or Madeline, did well. Not as well as other people we interviewed, but a good solid one. I scored her at 87. Based on my just based on my rankings, 3, 4, 5, 6. I ranked her tied for 6th with 3 other people. So that's just happened on my ranking. And John, I didn't think he interviewed well at all. He did seem nervous. He just didn't have good answers. I don't, you know, he didn't seem nervous at all over the phone. It's obviously hard to see that, but you can usually hear if someone's nervous in the on the phone. I ranked him a 66. Actually, I ranked him worse than all the other interviews that I had that night. That's what
I would agree. I know he ranks probably a little bit higher than like some of the people I interviewed, but I wouldn't say that he should get a second term because I feel like somebody who was on Moving Governance should kind of have more of an answer to a lot of our questions. And he kind of just didn't. Just sort of like, yeah, I was on Moving Governance. It was fun. You know, it wasn't really overly, it wasn't bad, it just wasn't spectacular either.
And that actually brings up a very good point, right, where she said that. So anyone who was on here last, you guys were all here last year, we changed the form for returning youth in governance. And the questions that we had were today were the first time that we were actually asking any of the returning youth on these questions. Now, it's interesting, when you ask a youth who's been sitting there for an entire year, tell us about one positive experience from serving on your county board committees, and you get a very basic, short answer about how the budgets work with the parks. And that's not enough for me when it comes to what have you learned for an entire year. Give me a good, positive experience. You girls both have good, positive experiences that you share all the time with youth. How would you describe youth and governance to another student?
Yeah, that one was...
At the school.
I literally shook my head when he answered that.
It was that it's a very rewarding
opportunity that the county offers.
And something about participating in parks. Anywhere, oh, you can participate anywhere in law all the way up to parks, but nothing about facilities, and facilities is a huge part of parks and facilities. So it's almost like he had a disconnect with his committee, like he wasn't always there.
Did
he
apply to be in the same committee? I'm just curious.
Yes, yeah. He did.
Okay. That's my thought.
Yeah. One of the other questions is, what is the one thing that you have learned about Kenosha County that you didn't know before participating in youth and governance?
He should have had so many more answers. He was on the tour, he comes to the meetings. What did he say?
I have, my notes are, he learned how the county runs.
I learned things about
how the government functions.
And how emotion becomes the law.
Yeah, he used the word law, which... We don't pass laws here.
No.
And that he knew nothing about county government before, but he knows, you know, he learned things. Those are my notes.
Learned a lot.
So I was a little concerned about that. And then when you looked at his application, he actually mentions on here city council. It says, it would further my education on how a city council is run.
Oh, yeah.
And its functions.
So each and every one of those points you bring up, how did they contrast to Maddie's or Ed?
She had a lot, I want to say...
Yeah, as an example, you were saying, I think one of the questions was, you know, give us some specific examples of what, you know, or a specific example of what you learned.
Her?
Right.
What is the one thing she said? She was, because she said on finance, she was surprised, but she didn't realize that all the different departments come together for the budget and present their budget, and all, you know, you have your separate departments, and then they all come together, basically, is what she said. And then she said she didn't know that grants that we accept had to be approved by the county board. Mm-hmm. So she was surprised by that. She had no idea that those actually had to be approved. That's my notes.
I don't know. She also talked about like positive experiences, and she tied it in a lot more than just what happens on the finance committee. Like, she spoke about how she didn't know about the sheriff's office, and how she learned more about like that almost judiciary, or what about that, joint services committee, mm-hmm. because of being on the finance committee. So she has kind of, you know, she didn't go on the bus tour and she wasn't at the thing, but she also...
Does the sheriff sit on the finance committee, or does he go there a lot? Because my brother talks
about
that.
They go there for the budget.
He has to go in front of them quite a bit.
Okay.
For accepting grants. A lot of times they'll get grants from the Department of Justice.
But yeah, I mean, she didn't do all of like the activities, but she still learned about more than just the finance committee, and she was able to tie that in, so that was kind of interesting.
Okay, and she was able to articulate that.
Yeah, she was really, very clearly.
Yeah, it wasn't, it just seemed like John had very short answers, and Madeline spoke at length on each one of them. Very impressed with when she said, when we talked about how would you describe youth and governance to another student at the school, it's an opportunity for of someone with academic standards. It gives them an opportunity to voice their opinions. She talked about everything that youth and governance truly is. And she said that she actually does that at her school now. So the fact that she came up and she says, well, I'm the only one from Central in the program right now. And Teddy and I looked at her and were like, no. But we went back and we checked, and she sure is. She's the only one from Central.
There are so many people that applied this year.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and that's the thing is, we want these kids to go out and sell it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they can say, I'm on this great thing, youth and governance, you should apply next mm-hmm. year. You know, tell their friends, because, you know.
It helps.
Yeah.
Did you happen to look back in your history at all, from last year's rankings, and find out where John and Madeline fell in the top 14 at all?
Actually, I have those on here.
We had different forms last year. We
I understand. I'm not worried about it. It's generally ranking your rank.
So my 2013. So Trevor Foster was ranked the top one. Alicia was second.
But where did John and Addie fall?
Trevor.
So.
You had Trevor to boot.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, that's the year before we were.
No.
No, that was last year.
He reapplied last year. And he made the decision to go to YAR.
Oh, okay. So
and not
like
accept YIG.
Right.
He did the opposite of what you did.
Okay. Okay, so let me go down here. I want to see where they. Okay, so John was the last one.
Okay.
And then Maddie was right above him.
13, 14.
13 and 14.
Now, so my impression is John maybe went down to 16, but Maddie perhaps would have risen up to 7 or 8, or mm-hmm. actually could articulate her experience in more than just a couple very succinct, curt answers.
Right.
That weren't always accurate. I would say that then I would not recommend John for another turnaround, because it doesn't seem like he's growing at all from, he just made the cut last year.
Yeah.
Whereas Maddie, I think you guys are left with the impression, I didn't talk to him, that she at least gained some knowledge, was able to express it. And I'm not saying you would put her higher than others you've already selected. I'm just saying. And I don't know, are we giving preferential treatment to the
No,
reacts?
I did not give them preferential treatment.
No.
I couldn't find her. I don't know if I received her application. I found like John's is in my email, but I didn't see Maddie's for some reason.
I may not have sent it to you because you said you weren't able to be on the interview.
Oh, okay, that's why.
She's articulating herself very well.
I was just wondering if she applied for the same committee also.
She did.
Yes, but then her second choice was PDEC, and third was facilities.
You guys aren't going to put these, if either one of them make it, you can put them in those two.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they always get, I always put them on different committees. I never put them back on the same one.
And I just need to comment about John's being included. I'm willing to bet the reason he was included, even though he scored as low as he did, is it addresses our school representation. He's from St. Joe's.
Right.
And so he would have risen as a representative of all, getting all the high schools. See, to get all the high schools represented, to be as broad as we could. And so I'm willing to bet that that's exactly what had happened. And as I look at the list now, we didn't have, he probably is our one and only St. Joe application again.
No, executive committee.
We haven't gotten that final decision yet.
So, I just throw that out there.
Yeah, do we have a St. Joe rep this year?
And that was,
you sent
that
me the
was,
spreadsheet, I just forgot to bring
that
it up.
That was actually the issue last year,
and I don't think
with St. Joseph. There
is
no one else. There is no one else from St. Joseph's.
Okay.
However, I don't know if we want to, even though, because he's already been in the program once.
And that's a consideration you have to weigh.
Do we want to put him back in the program just because he's the only St. Joseph's one in there?
I would say no.
He's already done the program once.
I feel like he already had a chance to bring in the viewpoints from his school, and if you guys feel like he didn't do it well enough, then I don't think that next year he'll come back and be like, oh, well, all these kids from St. Joe's think this, like, if he didn't do that this year.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, Lakeview, before.
You got a good point. Did anybody else apply for
it? No.
Well, that's not very good ambassador to the
whole
program.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was like, if he couldn't get anyone else from his school,
not even one.
Did he nominate anyone from his school? How can you be in the program and then nominate anyone?
I feel like they would still, as teachers, like, if you sent them the forms, they would still apply. Because, like, before last year with Renaz, nobody at Lakeview would have ever actually gotten on it. Like, we'd applied, but we'd never been on Youth and Governance, and we still nominated people every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like the school would still push for that, because obviously the schools want their kids to do well and everything. But, but what is he really bringing back? Because, like, I only had two kids from Lakeview actually, like, go through and submit the application, and I nominated, like, four pages of kids. So, the whole government class, basically. So,
they were in alphabetical.
And they were in alphabetical.
That's okay. Give me a printout of the whole class.
That's.
Did you talk to them first about if they wanted to do it or not?
Oh, yeah, like what we did. I went to my government teacher and I asked him, like, who he would recommend. And he was like, oh, why don't you give a presentation in front of the class? And then, like, of the kids, and like, oh, I'm interested. Then I kind of I went through it with him and we picked the ones that would be, at least capable individuals.
So here's what would actually happen with the standings. What I did was I had to take the other interviews and divide them so that they came out to, so that we had an estimate
four
of four.
Times by five kind of thing.
And if we look at it that way, Madeline actually moves up pretty far into the rankings. If we put her in for Central, then James Manring would be bumped out.
Is he the one that we were going to bump up ahead of someone?
No.
Okay.
He was at the bottom of the list for Central. But if I put her back in for Central, I have to take another person out from Central.
And are there more than one people from Central? One people?
Yes.
Okay. So it wouldn't be that she's the only one.
Right.
Okay.
So that would be the only one that would be taken out then.
I'm surprised Autumn Jones didn't get in. I remember us being, like, liking her during that.
It's the school thing again.
Isn't it?
Yeah, because otherwise then they'd have to boot Rihanna, and she's the only one from Bradford.
See, I didn't like Rihanna at all.
I liked her more than Autumn.
What?
I liked her more than Autumn. I thought she was more,
She, like, said she wanted to be on joint services, and she didn't know what it was.
But she was more like innovative.
That's
all
right.
With her
we got
answer.
Two kids, or one of the two kids here that were on the program for a year, and they don't know what it is. So.
Yeah. I don't know. She was more creative with her answers than Autumn. I felt like Autumn was pretty
good at interviewing.
She was good at interviewing. Autumn was pretty, like, kind of stagnant in my mind, to be honest. I didn't quite much care for her. So
are we. I'm sorry that I don't have the list in front of me. Are we.
I have one.
Autumn Jones. Just a couple of things I'd like to say is, you know, that was the first time I've ever been involved in a teleconference, and it was a different experience for me. I don't want to penalize these scores by maybe not being as well as if it was a face-to-face interview. Secondly, with John Setter, I was very impressed with his comment about the budget process on the Parks Department. And Mike can tell you the Parks Department budget, and I think I had tried to attend all of the budget hearings for all the committees, except for Judiciary and Law, because they meet at the same time as us. That was probably the most controversial budget, with the money for the KD Park and motions to amend and withdrawn, and it was really quite a process and quite an experience, that budget process for the parks. And how he did mention that, I'd like to give him credit for, you know, for that. So I just don't want to sell him too short.
Okay.
Well, we had a couple other, we had one other phone interview as a group that I did participate in. How did that compare?
That was...
Now, granted, they were in Panama or whatever.
It was
they were,
James.
You know.
James was on the phone. I think he did better than John, but I would rank him kind of on par.
No, that wasn't James.
James.
It was Jared, right?
Oh,
right.
I thought, Jared. And I thought he did a really good job. I thought he was good. Wait, then what was it, James? Oh, yeah, Jared. No, yeah, Jared, the guy was in...
Mm-hmm. He was in Panama.
Wait, then who was... What's the James? Did we have a picture?
And actually, the when I look at the ratings, John actually did better with his phone interview than Jared did. He had was it Jared? Are we sure it was Jared?
Did Jared with the phone interview?
Yeah.
I didn't bring my meeting schedule.
Yeah, because that was the one from Moorman.
Yeah, he...
Right?
It was a young man from Wilmot who was in Panama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Jared had a total score of 338. If you break that down, it's 270 for four, and then John had a score of 272, so he was 2 points higher. So I don't think we actually docked him for his phone interview. I think it was when he started this process with Teddy, it was probably on...
Well, the email came to me on Sunday.
Sunday, okay. Mm-hmm. So when Teddy sent him, said, please go ahead and fill out the application,
Monday.
When you look at his application, he took,
John?
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
He took no time whatsoever to think about these questions.
Yeah, his application was weak, too.
I didn't really...
And that's, I think that's where I scored him the weakest, was on the application.
Because if you're serious enough to contact Teddy to, like, want to reapply, and having applied once already, don't you think you would... give more than a one-sentence answer. Okay, well, the other thing, it looked like it took him 5 minutes. It would take you, like, what, an hour out of your time at the most to sit down and write it, and then you have so many things you could share, and you just kind of... I did not like this.
Yeah.
I can see where a phone interview would actually be almost less stressful, because we're all used to talking on the phone instead of having six people staring at you.
Yeah.
Right.
I think I
Adults.
Would be more comfortable on the phone.
Yeah, for sure. And if it were me, I would have notes in front of me. I'm just saying. I'm just being honest. Like, if I'm on a phone interview, like, I would have my, like,
your application
in front of me. Like, I'm just saying. I don't know if that's, like, wrong, but.
Well, I enjoyed Jared's phone interview a lot more.
I thought he was really, really good.
Yeah.
He talked about, like, his business class and how he wants to get, like, real experience from it.
I
don't know. John's, like, interview wasn't very memorable to me, to be honest. Like, probably a week from now, I won't remember half the things he said. And Jared's, I actually was kind of excited for. Like, I thought he was one of the better interviews from our first night. So.
And I thought he was, like, he seemed, like, the way he was talking and stuff, he seemed like a person that would have, like, and the stuff that he said seemed like he would have, like, spoken up in meetings and, like, had opinions about things. And I don't know if John has done that as much.
I don't know if I've ever heard John other than say A or yes or no.
I don't know.
Jared, I'm trying to remember. And I...
John was kind of like that also, like, at our other youth and governance functions. He was very, like, almost standoffish, like,
you didn't really want to associate with the other kids, but everybody else on the bus was like talking and changing numbers and having a good time and talking about things they had just done. And he kind of just sat on his own seat, just like, okay, I'm here. Awesome. I don't know. The Jared, he seemed a lot more interested. Like, he expressed interest a lot more than John did. Because John was just kind of, yeah, I'm already on Youth and Governance, so therefore you should put me on it because I'm already a gig member. And he didn't really, go into detail much further than that. So,
I'm okay with your ranking here with taking James Manning off because he's from Central and putting Maddie on. Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with that, so I'd like to make a motion to approve that recommendation.
Another thing to note with that is that James is going to be a junior, so he will have another year to apply.
Is this all sophomore now?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is the motion, I want to put Maddie on, but I don't want to take
I already include. Oh,
okay.
You want to what?
Is it possible to take someone else off of the list instead of him? To put her on? Like, I want to put her on, but I don't want to take him off specifically. I want to take someone else off.
I don't know. It
depends on who we're going to take off.
We're still trying to keep a balance, Ashley.
Right.
We have representation from all the high schools.
I don't understand why that's such an important thing.
Because we lose the momentum of a school continuing to support the program when we don't have youth. And it's just an equitable representation.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to compare high school to high school because they're very, very different. And
yeah.
So you'll even
different
see when
teachers,
we interview
different classes, seven.
Some of the students, I mean, I'll be honest, for years, Trumper dominated. As the students were just that much better than the rest of the other schools. And so we found ourselves with this big imbalance. And we just and it was through these discussions that committee members said we have to be more equitable. We can't compare a Harborside to a Trumper. And we can't compare Wilmot to Bradford. And so we've got to give equal opportunity. And so they've struggled really, really hard to make this sort of balance. So that is why. Otherwise, honestly, you'd have years where you'd have it totally dominated by Trumper or Central High School.
Yeah.
But if there's like a bad candidate and they're the only one from their school, then they're automatically going to get on. And if there's like three really strong candidates from another school and they're like way better than that other candidate, but just because they go to a certain school, maybe they're not going to get on.
Wouldn't say way bad. I think they make a consideration to look at their rankings and say,
yeah.
And this happened to be a year where we rarely had a St. Joe representative, so we said, let's give St. Joe's
right.
We don't have a Catholic Central representative because last year, he's actually applied again. He interviewed poorly, and we didn't feel, because he was in 10th grade, we didn't feel that his score was good enough to bump up to be in it, and we knew that if he really wanted it, he could apply again and be it. So we do take into consideration that, but we also, like Teddy said, the imbalance, but also we want the word to get out, and if we only have kids from Trumper, then we're only going to get kids from Trumper.
I mean, when I did my recommendations, I recommended two people that weren't from Trumper, and one of them was from St. Joe's. She didn't end up applying. I don't think necessarily you're only. I mean, it's more likely that you're going to recommend people from your school, but it's not necessarily.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I understand what you're saying.
I see where you're coming from.
I don't know how.
I think it depends. Depends partially on the school. Like, but if we got rid of Spencer, what's the likelihood? Because Catholic Central, to me, seems like it's a really small school. I've never heard of it before. Like, what's the likelihood that they're actually going to apply somebody else? It's not like at my school. If it weren't for somebody actually getting on it, nobody really even knew. Like, I'll talk to kids about youth and governance. There's something where you can go into government. I'll be like, yeah, we also have other programs and stuff too, and they've never heard of them. So if it weren't for the fact that, like, we had somebody get on it, they'd probably just be like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, you kids never get on it. To be entirely honest, I mean, they'd probably apply people, but that's what they told Bernard, and that's what they told me, is that nobody from Lakeview ever gets on youth and governance. I don't know where they're coming
from. But there's people applying for.
Yeah, well, not really. Like, if it weren't for Bernas getting on it, they probably wouldn't have applied anybody, to be honest, because it was always the opinion that, oh, we'll just send kids, but we never actually hear anything back, or we never actually get people that go to the interview process. So before that, they're like, oh, now we have to have another kid on, because we finally got somebody after, 6 years. So it was kind of a big deal at my school. To be honest, to have somebody on Youth and Governance was kind of a big deal.
No one even knew. I told my history teacher that I was on the board, and he was like, oh, whoever even calls their county board, it's city aldermen. I'm like,
that's how a lot of the kids at my school like felt. Like, oh.
Your teacher said that?
Yeah, because my teacher was
where
like,
do you go to school again?
Trevor.
Yeah, it's probably only think about
my teacher last year when I got on was an alderman, and my teacher this year is an alderman, and I don't know.
I'm just saying, they should be better history teachers if they're involved.
Okay,
like,
so
especially for government.
We need to keep moving.
We'd have to get rid of Luke.
Kim,
I'd like
to mention one thing is that because I was out of town and I wasn't involved in any of the interviews, I don't feel comfortable in voting on anything other than maybe Madeline and John's. I'd like to abstain because I know nothing of the interviews, nothing of the process.
Okay.
And it's not fair for me to vote.
Okay. Thank
you. I'll abstain on those.
All right, so I have a first from Aaron to remove James and put in Madeline.
Second.
My youth and governance that was there today.
She seemed really passionate.
Okay. Committee.
My motion was to approve the whole thing.
Oh, to approve the whole thing?
Yeah.
I thought we were just going to move.
Because I just said, as you presented, but with those two changes.
Okay. My other youth and governance.
No.
Well, kind of closed. the list we're flipping it, right?
Yeah.
We're adding Madeline.
We're adding Madeline instead of James.
So I saw the list that you sent. I thought that was the proposed. Obviously, it's up to the chairman to give final approval on it, right? We're just going to send it as recommended then. Okay.
I was impressed with Madeline.
Were you? Yeah. Well, how did she do compared to like the other youth and governance who had interviewed last year? Again,
she was at the bottom.
Well, no, I mean people who reapplied last year. Was she, you know, in comparison of people who?
I don't think anybody reapplied.
I don't think anyone.
I don't remember anybody.
Michael Ferriglio.
I have to withdraw my second because I didn't interview the other person. So that's not fair either.
You didn't interview one other person.
James. Take off. Yeah. So I really don't feel comfortable with seconding that motion because I only know the one applicant.
Okay, so basically what we want to do is we want to take off James, put Madeline in, and do I have a second?
I guess I'm the only other second, so I'll second.
Okay.
Mike and I weren't here to talk or listen to these two today.
Okay, then I'll second it.
Well, no, he can't. I didn't interview half the kids. I'm still going to vote on it.
Yeah.
That's true. It's based on our rankings here.
It's based on
the
rankings.
I just wanted to get, you know, that's why I wanted to listen to you guys before.
Right.
We talked about, but overall the scoring for James was lower than what you had come up with for Maddie, correct?
Yes.
Okay, then I don't have reservations about that, so I'll second. They all did a pretty good job, you know. Some better than others, we know that. And that's how we came up with the numbers we did.
Okay, youth and governance, how do you vote?
Aye. Yeah, aye.
Committee?
Aye.
I vote aye. Rick is going to abstain. Okay, so these are the names. I'll go ahead and forward on all the names to you guys again so that you can look at them again. Just some quick things that we need to cover in the next 5 minutes. Okay, so changes. What are the changes that we want to cover real quick?
What changes?
Okay, so
talking youth and governance?
Yeah.
Because the committee will change over.
So any input you have now.
We should have allotted some more time for that.
I know.
Yeah, any input you have would be helpful because you're right, the committee's going to change.
Just a couple things that I had on the interview form itself. Number 2 and number 4 seemed extremely confusing to all for some reason. When you say, tell us about one of your activities and how it could relate to one of the committees, they would tell us about an activity, but not how it could relate because I don't think they understand what the committees are for county government.
Yeah.
So I think we need to remove that or reword it or something.
Well, they were having a hard time with number one, and that's a softball.
Well, exactly. a couple other things, just real quick. One of the things that I did over the weekend was I talked to Monty Elsterman in Racine County, and they finally got through all of their interviews for their youth and governance. This is the form that they used. It's, I guess I didn't read it. I just passed it on to Teddy. But this is the form that they used. What they do with their interview process is they have three youth come into the meeting room at the same time. They round robin them, but ask them the same questions. And I asked him, how do you get a good response from them? He says, the kids are so concerned about not following what the person before them said, and they're busy formulating their own response that they're not even listening to the other person. Give the response.
So the person that goes first gets the short end for that question.
Right, but then the next person goes first, and then the other person.
Okay,
goes
so
first.
Actually they have better answers. Probably.
They have better answers. And
number
says,
two and three.
Yeah, well, and you know, it all rotates.
Right,
and,
right.
And, but he said the kids felt so much more comfortable doing
that's
it
the same
in
that
groups.
Would be, I think.
So, with our two youth, what do you think?
I wouldn't want to do that.
I would feel like I'm competing against those two in that, like,
I think it would intimidate me more.
Yeah, it would intimidate me more. And then I feel like if one of them was, like, really good in the group, then I would feel like, okay, I can't, like, I can't compare. But if someone was, like, really bad, then I would kind of, like, feel bad and not want to, like, show off as much. Because, like, in an interview, you're supposed to sell yourself, but I would feel more if, like, I'm bragging about myself that there was youth with me.
Nobody else is going to break for you.
I know. I think
a lot of kids don't understand that, though. I would be really intimidated because I would be worried for the next, like, month then, oh, so-and-so answered it so much better than I did. Oh,
yeah, and then what if you're, like, with some people that you know, and then people could be like, oh, they did terrible in their interview. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be...
Like, there was, like, several friends that, like, interviewed him.
So
they used a lot of our documentation.
I wouldn't be comfortable
yeah,
with
they
that.
You only
she's
had 21
like
applicants.
Like,
you
oh,
only
man.
Have seven interviews.
I know. Or do we want to throw it out as a mixed? They can either sign up as a in one
no,
of the groups.
No, because that'll throw up.
Coordinate all that.
No,
I showed up already.
That'll throw off the scores because it won't
that's
be.
That's true.
I think that they need more help interviewing than they do like. Being comfortable because you want someone who's going to be comfortable around adults, and you can kind of tell that when you have an interview with a bunch of adults because that's the way it's going to be for them for the next year.
Yeah.
Okay?
They're going to be around with a bunch of adults.
I appreciate that you said that. Only the one comment I would just make, and I've said this to Kim a couple of times, is that every one of us have to have a first interview.
Right.
Yeah.
At some point in our life, we have our first interview, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And for this opportunity, it's the first interview
actually,
for many of
official.
These kids, yeah. And we witnessed it. So in a lot of ways, we help contribute to their growth. I think it's a, for me, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
No.
Because I, you know, as tough as it is, everybody has
oh,
to
yeah.
have their first, right?
I mean, you expected it. It was, I think, the first night. Was it Luke?
Yeah.
Oh,
that sucked, you know, but you were rather than number two is what about, tell us about one of your activities and how it could benefit youth and governance or youth and governance program as opposed to
really
relating it to one of the committees. They don't know what the committee is.
They don't know what the committee is.
So, you know, hey, on the school paper, I'm the football captain and I'm going to be able to bring my leadership skills into youth and governance or whatever it is.
Yeah,
maybe that's a little, because someone, we say, what are your activities? They go, what do you mean activities? It's like, they just kind of glaze over. So, and.
Right.
And
but
I
like
know we don't want to prompt them through it, but on the other hand, I don't mind. So that was just one. I don't necessarily want to get rid of the question, but it's your opportunity to brag on yourself,
right.
And maybe we need to express that too.
And Ashley, you just said extracurricular. Would that help define it?
I think extracurricular.
Okay.
I don't know what kind of activity.
Yeah.
I think it's
more you know,
like,
do I have proper hygiene? Do I brush my teeth? What is it?
A lot of them are like, oh, what do you mean by activities?
Yeah.
Experience.
A life
experience.
You
could say extracurricular or personal experience.
Yeah.
And then I think for number
just
four.
Just how about more volunteer?
Oh, yeah. I think for number four, if you put social service, it would kind of ring.
I have no problem with that question.
Well, not everything is a social service.
Sure. That's right. And a few of them had ideas. Well, the plow the roads, right? Or maybe the sheriff? Or they most didn't have a clue.
Question.
What the county does.
No,
so it's okay. Sorry for them not. It's the few that do actually maybe look into it a little bit more, score a bit.
How about we could do something
I can't
like
believe with all the internet crap around,
information. It's not like they got to go dig this stuff out of the library.
Well, what about your parents saying something about your security? You could say something like, tell us what you know, or
these kids are supposed to be smart.
The question used to be, tell us what you know about Kenosha County.
Right.
Well, that's the crutch.
And they didn't get,
they've got all these aldermen, and you know, they take care of the city roads, and there's a mayor.
Tell us. Tell us what you know of how Kenosha County helps the residents of the county. How's that? Is that clearer? You know, because then you go, how do they help? Well, they plow the roads, they got the sheriff's department. Yeah. Is that clearer?
What do you think?
To some kids.
That could work.
Some of them, they just, no matter what, we're not going to get an answer.
I think the word help will help. Mm-hmm. And that it's not services, but you're
right.
Helping.
What are you getting out of living in Kenosha?
You're from the government and I'm here to help.
Yes, but
all yours.
Trust me. I wouldn't change it about the returning gig member application. I thought that was really good.
Yeah. You know, when I was putting something is, what do the taxpayers get for their taxes?
Okay.
I really want to go over the committees.
Sure.
Well,
When you recommend them, you're recommending
their first or second, third choice for committees too, right? That'll be part of the recommendation to the chairman.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So I will send the listing with the committee picks where they're all.
Do you want these, Teddy?
So yes.
They were like,
I do want your rating
one,
sheets,
then
please.
They would get their first pick. I try to do it. I try to start at the top of the list of who got the best score and go down from there. Sometimes it doesn't always work, but
it's like, remember how we were saying how like no, it's like we'd be really good.
I have just a couple of things, if I may, please.
Yes.
I need to report to you that Rose Scora, our ag educator, has taken a leave of absence through the end of the year. I have another vacancy now to fill.
Don't panic, though.
So her 60% position is going to be filled by a backfill, and she's doing this through the end of the year, so through December 31.
What do you mean backfill?
Someone who'll do that on an interim basis.
Okay.
Very interim.
She coming back or
not? Well, she has to make that decision. She's going to choose, and she told me that she'd let me know about October or November. Pardon?
No, the other one.
Amy had the baby. Okay. Yeah, Rose's is a personal situation. She's adopted three children.
Oh, she's got her hands full.
Well, it's kids. I mean, I'll just tell you this. She brought a letter of resignation into me, and I wouldn't take it. I said, let's see if there aren't some other options first and give you some time. And so the university was able to offer her a leave of absence, and so she's got some time to step away. And she said by October, November, she let me know whether or not she thought she'd be able to return. So I'll let you know that. So the interim person does require a bachelor's degree. So keep in mind, short term, if you know anybody who could be eligible to apply. Our preliminary interviews for Amy's job, who had the baby, were held April 1st. And we have two candidates we're going to invite to final interviews on May 8th. Okay. So there's our update. Now, this is the last time we'll see this committee as a committee, and so I just want to express my sincere appreciation for all of your support over the last 2 years and everything you've contributed to the growth and support of UW Extension. So I'm going to encourage you to remain connected to us in some way, shape, or form and participate in our future programs and opportunities. You know, we always have lots of ways for you to volunteer, so appreciate that. But thank you all very much.
And we do have a waiting for her to. We didn't get to that today either.
Well, you guys have one more meeting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do
the May one.
You have the May meeting, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, there's still some more stuff that we didn't cover that you guys will have to figure out what you're going to do with that.
I'll have to figure
meeting.
Out. Okay. Yes.
So, okay. We need to move to the other room.
Other things that we need to talk about, like after this next meeting, or?
In regards to the governance. No, we didn't have enough time to cover it tonight.
Did you get any more applications for?
None, zero.
Well, we were gonna.
Well, but not until they get the letter, you know.
Yes,
when
right.
They get the letter. So sorry, so sad.
Right.
Well, I like your idea. I'll just.
So take a cookie with you.
please.
I'm going to
lose Spencer.
I'm a growing boy.
He'll probably choose to come.
Yeah.
We didn't cover
nearly what we needed to cover.
Yeah. The time just goes by so fast.